But in the studio, in the meantime, I got a whole full house here, and then you can go to Ustream.tv, thanks to Lucas Paris and the head cam, and see exactly what I mean. If you go there, you will see three fine hunks of men and me. Because I have in the studio with me today our dear friend Mike McBath of the he is the president of the NFL Former Players Union. Mike, thanks for being with us again tonight.
It's always fun. Appreciate being here.
And it's very timely going to have you here tonight, of course, with what I'm calling, as you see in my notes here, the NFL soaps.
We'll discuss that later.
Yeah, we'll be getting to that for sure. We have Aubrey Kahn, Firm Foundation Home Inspections, in the studio with us today. And, of course, Aubrey is a sponsor of our show. And I want to thank you folks who have been calling Aubrey as a result of the show, and encourage every one of you out there, if you have a home and you are paying homeowners insurance, which means if you own it outright or have a mortgage, you're probably paying too much for your homeowner's insurance. And Aubrey Kahn is the man to call to help you out on that. And we have also with us today John L. Casey. And John, if you've been listening over the last couple of months or so, you know that John is now a regular part of the show, as is Mike, because we need an expert here when it comes to this global warming stuff. You know, I've well read in it, I think, as far as the layperson goes, but John L. Casey is an expert on this and communicates with other scientists and experts on a regular basis. He is the director and president of the Space and Science Research Corporation, and that's located right here in Orlando, Florida, and he is the author of a book that we're going to talk about today that has just been republished, and it was called Cold Sun, and it's been republished under the title Dark Winter. And also, the Space and Science Research Corp puts out a quarterly report, which we've been referring to and talking about on our show of almost a year now when we first found out about John. And you can get your own report by going to spaceandscience.net. It is a quarterly report. And the next one will be coming out in October, won't it? Or September? October.
We've just shifted the date to 10 December. We've now gone to semi-annual as of last week.
Okay.
New news based on feedback from our readers.
Okay. All right. And spaceandscience.net is where you can find the report and communicate with John Casey. You know, John, we get a tip sheet from Salem Communications, which gives us highlights of news stories, and plus we see them on our own. And one of the recent stories that we saw, I believe it was actually just yesterday, was talking about how the ice pack in the Arctic ice pack and Antarctic ice is actually increasing. And you reported this on our show last time, actually the time before last.
Time before, yes.
And it's being confirmed, as have been the vast majority of your predictions. Well over 90% of your predictions have now been confirmed that we are actually entering a period of cooling. And nonetheless, we're being told that the cold weather is being brought on by global warming. That's my reaction,
that is,
Mike.
Purely Washington at its best. I mean, it is so disgusting to hear a statement like that by those bozos in Washington.
Thank you for saying so, because that's my reaction when I hear this nonsense. And yet, when you talk to people, you know, who don't know better, they get this sort of concerned brow on their face, like, oh, wow, yeah. But it really is absurd, is it not, John Casey?
Absolutely. And what we're really seeing is the manifestations of truth in climate that's hitting the warmest community, the Al Gore and Obama community, right between the eyes with some cold, hard reality, namely things like there is no global warming. Namely, we've had no growth whatsoever in global temperatures for 18-plus years. That means that for the vast majority of the time, we've heard this myth of man-made climate change. There was none. There was no global warming. And now we're seeing the oceans have been cooling for 11 years, the atmosphere cooling for 7 years, and the sun going into a once every 206-year hibernation means we're in for decades of possibly dangerous cold weather.
And I want to get to that with you here in just a minute, and that's the gist, that's the subject matter, if you will, of your book, Dark Winter, where you describe how you came to these conclusions, what the conclusions mean, and perhaps what we can do about it. And that's the stuff we all need to know. I want to ask you one fact, though, that you've got on a fact sheet for me here. You say August 2014, that's last month, August 2014, global atmospheric temperatures were down from July and are now at the same level seen in December to January 1988 and December 1991.
That's right. If you go back and you trace how long the temperatures have been varying, and we usually do it on a 30-year average basis, you can go back to those years. And by the way, 1988 was when the UN formed its Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change that started all of these mythological climate reports we've been putting up with for 24, 25 years now. And we're right back where we were temperature-wise when the UN panel formed.
A couple of weeks ago, maybe not quite that long ago, but the Orlando Sentinel ran an article on the local section, the B section of the local newspaper. And the title of the article was, "Think it was a hotter than normal summer? Well, you were right." I mean, I'm paraphrasing, but that was the gist of it. And now I work outside my day job, okay? And Mike, you golf a lot. This has not been an extraordinarily hot summer, has it?
No, not at all.
It's been actually quite mild.
I know.
By Florida standards.
Even today, we played today, and it was not overbearing at all.
Right. No. And there have not been a string of days where it was 97 plus, which we have seen time and time again in the not so distant past. No, it was this summer here in Central Florida was quite mild, a lot of water. Aubrey, you work outside a lot and as a home inspector. Can you confirm that?
Oh yeah, it's not as bad as it was a number of years ago. It was actually quite mild this summer.
And yet they were able to devise a calculation, John, where they were saying and reporting in the newspaper that this was a warmer than normal summer. How do they come to these conclusions other than, as Mike says, they're a bunch of bozos?
Well, unfortunately, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration is under an executive order signed in 2009 by the president to support man-made climate change. Now, the way they do that...
No, hold on a minute. Our dear and glorious President Obama, Mike's over there touching the back of his throat right now, trying to vomit as I say that, he signed an executive order basically ordering scientists to take a particular position in a scientific matter?
I will tell you that the upshot, the end result, the bottom line of that executive order is that no U.S. government scientist is going to stand up before God and the president and tell the truth about the climate without fear for his job.
So he's put the kibosh on any truth-finding, actually.
And that's why we continue to see these bizarre reports that come out talking about the Arctic sea ice disappearing when, in fact, it's growing. The Antarctic sea ice is caused by warm temperature. These are unbelievable pieces of science, if you want to call them science. The group that I belong to, which is a group of scientists worldwide, has really had enough of this. We're standing up and we're saying it's time to tell the truth. It's time to get the people on board with what's really happening with the climate. Specifically, there is no global warming and a new cold climate has begun. And we certainly hope that someday soon our government will change hands and we'll get some honest people running climate science in this country.
And it's not easy for John and his colleagues because all the money and all the research.
Well, I mean, we were reflecting on this earlier. The reality, look at Al Gore, the money he scammed from all the public, the business, everything. You know, remember carbon credits and we're going to trade this and do that because of what's coming. I mean, this was really, it was just a giant scam of which you have a bunch of people in Washington who really, they don't care about you, the public. All they care about is let's sell a story, let's make a lot of money, and then what will be will be. Well, you know, by the way, don't you think it would be nice if you told the truth to the public?
Well, the truth, there's not a lot of money in the truth oftentimes.
Yeah, you're right.
And you mentioned those things, but where I believe Al Gore really made a killing was in the equity markets.
Oh, you know, and you know what happens, too, is they play the stocks that are related to the development of global warming. And they all, remember, they can do insider trading. They can do all the things that they so desire. And the reality of it is these people make themselves filthy rich, you know, and yet you, the public, don't even know it. And then they're sitting there like they're your protectorate. I don't think so.
And by the way, folks, that's coming from Mike McBath, who is the top trader at UBS Warburg here for, what, 28 years?
Well, I was in the business for 38 years, actually.
So. And so he was the top trader there for 38 years.
Mike would appreciate the collapse of the Chicago Carbon Credit Exchange, which occurred about a month after started to occur. About a month after I had a news conference and announced the end of global warming, 1st of July, 2008, that was one of the first big effects when people said, uh-oh, it's out in the open. We better start scrambling. Now, our friend Al Gore and a lot of Republicans and Democrats and corporate types made lots of money on the credit exchange. And even after it became worthless, it was sold for hundreds of millions of dollars to the European credit exchange.
All right. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation, and we're going to talk a little bit more about John's book, Dark Winter, because you're going to be able to get your hands on one, and I highly suggest you do. Plus, it'd make a great Christmas present. So please stick around. We'll be right back. And we got some big, sexy, hunky men in the studio with us tonight, folks. And, of course, that would be Mike McBath, former NFL player with the Buffalo Bills. We got Aubrey Kahn, who's a big, old, sexy, hunk of man himself, and John L. Casey. And, excuse me. Who's a good git himself, just ask his wife. So welcome back to the show. 407-774-8255 is the number. And we're talking about John L. Casey's book. It's called Dark Winter. It's a republication of his original work called Cold Sun. It has been reworked a little bit, but nonetheless, I've been reading the book, and it's very explanatory and gives you a great feel for what does drive our climate and where we are going. It's a great presentation of the argument, if you will. And John, one of the things that I found remarkable about the book is that not only are we working on a cyclical cycle, a solar cycle, but the solar cycle has other cycles as well. So there's actually a multitude of cycles at play here. And what you did is when you sat down and sort of put the evidence together, what you discovered is that the cycles are coinciding with a cooling period, and that this cooling period is going to be rather severe.
Exactly. If you break down the whole climate change debate, it's really pretty simple. It's the politically driven greenhouse gas theory that says mankind's CO2 causes warming, sea levels will rise, we're going to flood the world, and that's the threat.
And let me just highlight that. The whole reason why they choose that issue, if you will, and pin it on human beings, is it is a very effective way to control economic and human activity, is it not, Mike?
Without a doubt. Imagine all your utility companies and everybody else are forced to make all these massive changes that result in the layoff of individuals, jobs losses, and we're seeing that, as I'm sure John's well aware of, right now.
And John, I cut you off.
No, absolutely. I couldn't agree more. The other side of the equation, of course, is the one of reality. It's what really controls the climate. It's natural cycles, primarily driven by the sun. And although we've been through almost 20 years now, this man-made global warming myth, actually going back to 88, so 25 years, 26 yeah. years, we've known, and the scientific community's known for all that time, that natural cycles really are the most reliable, and solar cycles are well over 90% accurate in predicting climate variation, whereas the greenhouse gas theory has been a miserable failure in doing so.
One of the solar cycles that is at play here is a cycle that runs about every 200 to 220 years. And if you look back 200 years to... 200 to 300 years, you will find that we experienced a cooling period at that time. If you know your history and know Napoleon, you know that one of the things that defeated Napoleon's army were severe winters. And if you've heard about 1816, it is characterized as the year without a summer, because bitter cold winter hit that that winter and lasted basically all year. There was no summer that year. And in many parts of the country, it snowed year-round that year, if I'm not mistaken.
That's correct. Whatever crops existed, they were frozen out and snow-covered in the middle of August. This is mostly for New England. That was pretty much all we had as far as a country back then.
Yeah, and not only did the starvation naturally result from these things, but diseases and other things of the kind result as well. Is there anything we can do to prepare for this, John? And you touch on this in the book.
Absolutely. The first thing is we're going to have to all cross a very high, long intellectual bridge. It's the one that's between politically correct science and the one between real, factual-based science. We have to recognize that we really have been led down a path. We've been deceived. It's been intentional. And the highest levels of the U.S. government and the U.N. have been involved in this charade, this science fraud.
And it's been economically devastating, Mike.
I mean, again, every day read about it in the newspaper. Look at what's happening to all your utility companies, how they've had to alter their forms of energy. And when you look at the number of jobs lost, I mean, if we were leaning toward what John was talking about in any aspect, maybe we can create jobs. Maybe we can get a nice head start and get this thing in order.
Well, that's it. The first step is look at what's coming and get prepared for it. You need to get knowledgeable. After you've crossed that bridge and now you're open to a new idea about what causes climate change, then we need to go back, as you pointed out, look at history. Look what happened the last few times this 206-year cycle, in this case, came along. And see what happened then, see how people reacted, see what happened to Mother Nature, what happened to the crops. For example, one of the things we've learned is that not only do we have these record cold periods every 206 years or so, but also at the same time we have our worst earthquakes and worst volcanoes. It was, in fact, a volcano in 1815 that covered the earth with a fine dust that led to the year without a summer in 1816 here in the U.S.
Mikey.
Well, the other thing, too, let's reflect back to the Dark Ages. Why were they called the Dark Ages? Wasn't that due to the excess of cold and
two things. It was dark because dark intellectually back then.
We know that.
But you're absolutely right. If you go back to 206-year cycles, you're back in the Dark Ages. You're back in the 1600s, 1700s. When we had the Thames River frozen over, the Mississippi River frozen over, New York Harbor was frozen over. You didn't need a boat. You could walk between the islands in New York City.
And didn't we have superstitious people who would blame it on each other?
Blame it on each other, one's religion, one's failure to be pious enough.
So we had the same sort of thing that we see today going on back then, where you have these hysterics who don't know what they're talking about, going around blaming human beings for something that is far out of our control. We have no control over the planet revolving around the sun. Now, when you show me somebody that says human beings can do that, then I might think that there's human involvement in all of this. But if you get the report, the Space and Science report, and by going to spaceandscience.net, there's ample evidence in there to show you that not only is CO2 not the driving factor here, but even if it were, human beings is not the greatest source of CO2 in our atmosphere. It's plants and animals that we have nothing to do with. As a matter of fact, the things that we're trying to protect, right? The environmentalists want to protect that, which, if we believe their argument, is killing us and that. So it is totally circular logic.
There's tons of hypocrisy to find in this debate, yes.
Right. And Dark Winter is a great book. Now, is it on the bookshelves right now, John?
I believe Amazon is now putting it up for sale, and so is, I believe, our publisher, which is Humanix Books, a subsidiary of the well-known Newsmax Media, run by Mr. Chris Ruddy. And I'm looking forward to what they're doing with it. They've indicated in showing me that they're going to try to use this book to get the word out nationwide as quickly as they can so people can learn and get prepared for what's coming.
Okay. Well, as you start going around to book the tours and do all these TV shows and other radio shows, I'll hope you remember to have them introduce you as a part of the American Adversaries radio team.
John, how will you ever be able to get these politicians to understand what's going on? Is it possible, or is it just too money-oriented that no one has time?
Well, it's been a challenge. Certainly, over the last 7 years, I have communicated with all our leadership in Washington on several occasions. I mean, all the major leaders in Washington are well aware, and some of them have my book, so it's not like they don't know. And in fact, everything they're doing shows me they're actually well aware of it, they know what's coming, but they're ignoring it for political and financial gain.
As soon as that worm turns, then they'll be all over this. But in the meantime, folks, you need to get a copy of this book for yourself. And as I say, gifts, this would be a great gift. How much is it selling for, John?
This is $25 from the publisher.
$25 from the publisher. Dark Winter by John L. Casey. You can find it at Amazon. And you can find out more about the Global Climate Report, the status report, at spaceandscience.net. Can they find out about the book there, too?
They can get a link there, and they can also get a free 4-page summary climate report downloaded from the website.
We'll be right back.
Here is tonight's American Adversaries Soundbite RX News Minute. SoundbiteRx.com, a great way to be better informed. Today's Soundbite RX News Minute is brought to you by My Liberty Threads. American made, America proud. MyLibertyThreads.com.
Hi, this is Christopher Hart with just a little bit of what's brand new today at SoundbiteRx.com. Well, now I've heard everything. Barack Obama is going to start calling the airstrikes in Syria. That's right, folks. Barack Obama thinks he knows better than the generals what's going on over there. If you want to find out about that story, go to soundbiterx.com. This is an interesting story. Of course, you remember the Malaysian Airlines MH370, which mysteriously disappeared. There seems to be some speculation, at least, based on some tenuous evidence, that one of the pilots may have actually, on purpose, turned off the oxygen supply to the aircraft, causing a mass suicide. Also this, remember what was getting ready to happen last year about this time, folks? No, I'm not talking about football. I'm talking about Obamacare. Well, get ready for round two, and it could be just as sloppy and just as incompetent as it was last year. I'm talking about the healthcare website. Also this, the White House denies threatening the person whose father was beheaded. Now, we have heard from the families of James Foley and Stephen Sotloff, that they were threatened and their relatives were threatened, warned by the White House, according to the White House, that they should not ransom their son's release, lest they may go to prison. Great thing to tell a parent when their son is being held by a terrorist, don't you think? Well, that's the sort of thing that our administration thinks about us. Maybe we should rethink this administration. I know a lot of you already have. Please go to soundbiterx.com. It's good medicine. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back to the show, folks. That's right, you are listening to the American Adversaries in Drive Time on AM 660. The Answer, 407-774-8255 is the number. Christopher Hart in the studio with you today, along with Mike McBath, president of the former NFL Players Union. Also have Aubrey Kahn, a firm foundation home inspections, in the studio with us today, and John L. Casey, whose republication of his book, Dark Winter, is on the shelves right now, so to speak. You can get one at Amazon.com, and I highly suggest you get your hands on one because it will give you the tools that you need to straighten some of these fools out, if you will, out there. And we are on Ustream.tv today, so you can go to Ustream.tv, type in American Adversaries, and thanks to Lucas Paris, we're up on the head cam. And that was John L. Casey, who just saluted the camera for you there. And you can communicate with us, too. There's a little chat box there you can communicate. I want to get back to the conversation real quick. A couple more things for John. John, one of our listeners is Grant. And he just communicated to me that he's a horticulturist, and when he was in college, he learned, and I think we all kind of know this, CO2 helps plants grow, more CO2 helps plants grow more. And he says up north in some greenhouse operations, they actually add CO2 to the air inside the greenhouse to get the plants to grow better. I mean, so and once again, we're being told by these people, that being the global warming the earthers, truthers, if you will, that something that is actually good for the planet is bad.
That's one of the reasons I've called man-made climate change the greatest international scientific fraud in history, because just that kind of lunacy comes out of this kind of fraud. We see it virtually every day in new studies that come out to try to justify the UN and the U.S. government's position on climate change. And all of it's ultimately intended to impose a socialistic one-world form of government, impose restrictions on property rights and individual liberties, and fundamentally undermine the Constitution.
Yeah, but Mike was just telling us during the break that Hillary Clinton said it's still...
It was just a couple of weeks ago where she was doing a speech to one of her constituencies, all three people, and it was a case that, you know, her remark was, global warming is probably the biggest enemy of the United States as we stand today. I mean, what is with this? How do these people constantly get away with this?
There is a reason why this lunacy is reaching an all-time high level. The current administration and the UN are very deeply concerned that their window of opportunity for this charade is about to close. And it's about to close for political reasons here in the U.S. with these November elections, when the Republicans in all likelihood will take back the Senate and lock up the president's ability to impose new climate standards. And furthermore, the rapidly advancing new cold era is going to make it painfully obvious to the rest of the world that it's not warming at all.
And by the way, just last week it snowed in, I believe it was North Dakota and parts of Canada, where it doesn't snow this early in the year.
Right.
And so, I do believe your statement about, you know, just the other day they were pointing out Obama has done over 200 fundraisers this year. No, he's not too worried about what's going on in the world. It's just how much money do I raise, because they're so worried that they're going to lose the Senate, and that will hopefully begin the re-education of the American public to see what has happened to them, in not just the area you discussed, but in so many areas.
Let me make a point, if I may.
Yeah.
The vast majority of Americans, you know, they work hard. They're just trying to pay bills. They don't have time to get into this stuff. They really depend on our leaders and the media to tell them the truth, which I think half of them know they aren't getting the truth.
Unless they listen to us.
But I don't really blame anyone in the American public because of that situation. But very soon we have the opportunity for at least the government to start telling the truth. The media, it'll take a while for the mainstream media.
Yeah, but just direct them to us.
We need to recognize that we've had a whole generation go through a 20-some years of propaganda, and it's going to take a while for them to come out of it.
All right. I want to ask one question, a financial question to you, Mike, and then I want us to talk a little football. And that is that I've heard you say, basically giving a little bit of investing advice, when things are bad, they're good, and when they're good, they're bad.
Right.
In other words,
that's the old story. You remember in 2009 and 2008, real estate was terrible, right?
Yeah.
When things are bad, things are good.
So that's when you want to buy.
In other words, that's when you want to buy.
Right.
You know, right now the market's hovering up about the highest it's been in history. Things are good. Things are what?
Bad.
Right.
All right.
So, I mean, the reality is you'll never hit the exact top. You'll never buy at the exact bottom. But if you're somewhere close, you're going to do well. And as simplistic as that statement is, it does have a lot of sense to it, because people, when things are bad, are so over-emotional that they don't realize, boy, this is going to be a great payday down the road. And that's, I mean, why would I buy Disney at 90 when I could have bought it a few years ago at 33?
Well, having said
things
that.
Things are bad, things are good. Well, right. Now you pay 90 instead of 33.
Well, right now we are paying, even though it's at $100 a barrel, we are paying relatively cheap energy prices, in particular when it comes to natural gas and maybe even coal. Mm-hmm. So things are kind of bad in that industry. Given what he is saying, would that perhaps be a place if someone were looking at long-term investing?
Well, when you're talking about energy in this country, I mean, right now we've produced more energy. I mean, it's a massive amount of oil we've been producing here out of North Dakota and Texas. I think there was an article in the day's paper, like, we are close to the highest level of production we've ever been, which is great, yet we have substantially more room to go. And if the government would get out of the way, you know, we could bring, remember what it does by keeping prices up. When you keep prices up, all the people that the government claims and Obama claims they want to help. Imagine what we could do to lower their gasoline prices for their car, transportation, what we could do for their apartments or their houses. We could help these people, give them such a boost in their lifestyle, but now we play this game, you know, of green energy, and we play this game, you know, of trying to curtail the maximizing our production by keeping government properties away. I mean, it is just pathetic how they just act like they care about these people, and they don't care one iota.
Not one hoot. But Mike's right. We have a long way to go to develop our energy resources, and we're going to need a lot more energy going into this cool period, are we not?
We're going to need more energy, no question about it. But we're going to need energy that's readily available at a low price, as Mike's talking about. And that is not solar, wind, or
it's
other
going to
forms,
be the traditional fossil fuels.
Natural gas.
If you look at what's happened in Europe,
natural gas,
for example,
in particular.
Oh,
yeah.
natural gas. The vast wind farms that have been installed in Europe and the vast solar array opportunities over there, they have become so expensive and so unprofitable that I've read articles of people in Great Britain and in Germany making a choice between staying warm in the winter or having food on the table.
Yeah.
It's gotten that bad. The president's doing the same thing. He's heading this country down the same path here in the U.S., and minorities and the poor will suffer the most. That's what Mike's talking about. They have the least disposable income and the highest percentage of income to food and utility costs, and it's going to get worse under the president's climate plan.
Yeah, well, it's also a funnel to your contributors. You know, in other words, all I do is set up a phony company where I'm heavily involved in green energy, and I'm going to do this type of that. And all of a sudden, the money that is going from the government to me comes back to me, the government, meaning my political party, because I'm a supporter of green energy. Look what happened with Solyndra and everything else. I mean, this is, it's just a crime what takes place.
It is a crime.
Well,
yes.
You know, I was listening to one of the sports channels the other day, and I was thinking, boy, here's a great new green energy. Just get these sports guys talking about football and bloviating all this hot air. I want to switch the subject a little bit while we have you in the studio, Mike. You know, there's all of this bad publicity that the NFL is suffering through right now. First of all, is it warranted?
Well, I mean, obviously, I always think of that saying. It sounds, I'm sure it'll offend somebody. What would Jesus do, right? Well, what I mean by that is, come on, fellas. You don't punch your mate in the face. Come on, fellas. Didn't you know that from virtually the day you were born? Who was the person that raised you? Number two. You know, the situation when you, if you were to strike a child, certainly you don't strike them that rips their skin apart or anything of that nature. I mean, where is the logic of all of this? But the main thing that's being missed by all of this in the last week's time, as you say, with all this bloviating and all these experts, of which none of them are, all they do is just want to talk, is the reality of it is there is so much good being done in our society by these NFL players and former NFL players that when you have the 1% to 2% that are out that the news only cares about, you're missing the whole picture. And a perfect example was this weekend. Every year I was up in Buffalo, and the Bills, they threw a three-day event that probably raised over $150,000, and it was all the former players putting up their time for 3 days, helping in every type of event with the Wounded Warriors, you know, all the different foundations. And, you know, they gave their time, and all this money is going into charity. Now, this weekend in Orlando, I know there's going to be 30 former NFL players are going to be out there helping Make-A-Wish, you know, make their tournaments extremely successful and extremely profitable. Well, what happens is I haven't seen anybody cover that story. And remember ALS when we were the other meeting we held the other night?
Yeah.
You know, we had people contributing money out of their pockets to take care of that.
Yeah. George Diaz beat me to the
all
punch.
All you want is a story.
Yeah.
And I mean, the reality of it is, I hate to say it, boring. You know, but all they want to do is just talk and give my opinion and your opinion.
Yeah, but here's the problem with what's going on with the NFL is that it has become a political issue. the politicians have you know, taken it as their own issue. And the media is only too happy because they have this liberal agenda too, like what John is talking about with the global clients. They're doing the same thing with the social media and with the social issues, and the NFL now fits into that. You know, it's part of the war on women, if you will. And it's my understanding, and I first heard this on this past Sunday's morning talk shows, is that the instance of domestic violence in the NFL is actually lower than that in the overall population. And yet they would have us believe that you guys are all a bunch of thugs.
Right. And I mean, again, all I do is I think of how many people were shot every week in Detroit, Chicago. And I think, geez, this is certainly horrible what happened between these parties. But why aren't we covering the major problems in this country that has resulted in so much tragedy, so many tears, so much loss of life? All we do is take minor points that it sounds so glamorous, and then we harp on that. And it's also a diversion. You know, I mean, I do believe this in some ways is purposely done because,
Absolutely. You
know, our government has failed the public so much in the last 6 years that, I mean, this is great when they talk about that because that fits into, the route they want to go. They don't want to discuss how the economy has had the slowest recovery since World War II. They don't want to discuss, how they've taken this green energy and what they're doing is destroying our utilities and not being able to help us lower prices to take care of the poor. They don't want to discuss anything like that. Let's talk about, did he punch his wife? We all know you shouldn't do that. Hello.
Yeah. And now, of course, the issue is about Goodell. And it's, as you say, it's a huge diversion. And I guarantee you, the reason they don't cover the good stories is because they don't fit the political storyline.
Well, Mike, let me ask you this. How much of this is, let's knock the guy that's on the pedestal off?
Well, I think with Goodell's case, it is a case he makes, I'm sure this is really upsets him. He makes a lot of money. He makes like $100 million. Right. As they do. But, I mean, the realities of it is when you see what these players did, I agree, horrendous. But as you just pointed out, how did they compare to the general public? Well, geez, percentage-wise of players that do something like that relative to the general public is a lot smaller. Then why aren't you talking about the general public every day in your show? Oh, well, that's not very exciting. Oh, okay, I get it.
Yeah, well, all right. Okay, folks, we're going to take...
Same with black-on-black crime.
There you go. We're going to take the last break for today. When we come back, we'll be joined, as you heard, by Larry Adams.
I made it!
Snuck his way into the studio here.
I know. Something worse than global warming is people driving in the rain.
And it is. That's right. It's raining outside. So if you're on the roads, please be careful. We will be right back. All right, welcome back, folks. You are listening to the American Adversaries in Drive Time on AM 660. The Answer, talking to Mike McBath, because the NFL is caught in the crossfire right now between the Obamas and the Obamites and the lackeys in the media who are doing their dirty deeds for them. Aubrey Kahn, you had a great point to make.
Well, I was reading in the news the other day, and they passed a comment. They said, why are we holding the NFL to a higher moral standard than we are the people in Congress?
I got the answer.
I thought you were going to say the normal public. But
I actually have the answer because there'd be no one left in Congress.
Yeah, who's going to run?
That's a good point, though. Why do we hold these professional athletes to a higher standard?
I know. I mean, what is their influence on the general economy versus our Congress people? And our Congress people, they can do anything. And no one holds them accountable to it.
Well, that was the point I was trying to bring up, Mike, was that, let's face it, in human beings, there's a lot of people that just have to bring the stars down. They have to tear them down. It's just that's their whole goal in life is to see them fail.
I'll quickly reflect on what happened at Penn State last week. Penn State, we know anybody who, when the Free did his report, that's the law firm out of Washington, another high-quality group that they knew the answer before they did the study. Mm-hmm. Well, the answer was, you notice the NCAA gave back Penn State all their scholarships. They gave them back their bowl games all two years in advance. Now, I wonder why. Is it the fact that the Paterno suit is going through the courts right now? And good luck, NCAA. You're going to get waxed like you've never been waxed because in the Free report, just like we would expect, they never interviewed one former player that played for Joe Paterno, one former coach that coached for Joe Paterno. All they did was go selectively hand find people throughout the university, because any great leader is certainly going to have some people he alienated.
Right.
And this was typical of what goes on every day with our media.
Yeah,
they just hatchet someone, and now all of a sudden the NCAA is getting very apologetic. Well, you know what, buddy? It's too late. Get your wallet out.
Yeah, they trashed a great coach's reputation. They wanted to paint him with the same tar of the Sandusky scandal there. And Joe Paterno actually tried to do something about it.
Right. I mean, the real story was the minute the situation came to his attention, he turned it to the athletic director. Then he called the campus police. And the one thing, and I don't know if he did it wrong, he just said, "I wished I'd have done more." Well, you know what? With every tragedy that happens every day,
sure.
I wished I did more.
Everybody
but
says
they
that.
Took that statement, spun it out of control, will destroy a guy who only lived the right way and of which most people would have learned to live that way.
But, John, does that kind of sound familiar to you? Because I know that the global warming people,
dirty laundry.
The global warming people are trying their hardest to destroy you and others like you.
Well, absolutely. In my case, I came from 35 years of service to my country as an Army officer, advisor to the White House and Congress, and shuttle engineer. And the very first year I put out a press release opposing global warming, immediately, the liberal left calls me a scam artist, a hoaxer, and a fraud.
Well, actually, John, I got to tell you something. I heard on the radio the other day some big show where there was an environmentalist on there saying that if the climate cools or if the climate heats up, it's still mankind's fault. Either way it goes. No, he said it would take a couple hours to explain it, but okay. I'm like, okay.
Well, he had a fundraiser that night.
Yeah.
All right, we got a question for John L. Casey. Then I got a couple more questions for Mike McBath having to do with the games coming up this weekend. Danny, thanks for your call and your question for John, please.
Hey, John. You know, a few years ago, I had heard that Mars and Earth cooled and heated at the same exact rate due to the sun. Was there any truth in that?
That's correct. In fact, all the planets react the same as the Earth. The fundamental reason is it's the sun that's controlling the climate on all the planets.
Well, see, now you forgot about the Mars rover. We got the Mars rover up there. Danny, that's an excellent question. Thank you. And by the way, have you listened to the show before, or called the show before?
I haven't called the show before, but I did win some Predators tickets from you one time, and it was an awesome game. And I listen to your show every single night.
Well, I tell you what, the man who brought the Predators to town is sitting across the table from me, so you can thank him for that. He's not the owner now or last season, but Mike McBath brought the Preds here, man.
Well, yep. I'm glad he enjoyed it because I still go to the games. You couldn't have more fun.
Hey, Danny, if you'll stay on the line and give Nick your address, we'll send you a free bottle of Roxy Pacifics. It's great stuff for anything that aggravates your skin, man, whether it's chronic or just a boo-boo that you get during the day. So,
that's awesome because I'm a juvenile diabetic and been wanting that for a long time. So thank you guys so much.
Oh, this is great stuff for diabetics. It helps those wounds heal quickly, and especially the ones that don't heal. This will give them
Speaking of Predators, Dr. Ken Vihek with the Predators is a diabetic and uses it all the time.
Swears by it.
Yeah.
All right, speaking of the Preds, they're not playing this weekend, Mike, but the pros and the college teams are playing. The NFL players here, you guys have this deal with WESH where you get on there and you pick the games. And you were the best this past weekend.
Well, it was sort of ironic is what we do every week. We have, as you know, probably 150 former players living here in Central Florida. But what we do is we assign a week that each player picks the game versus the public for Channel 2.
Right.
Well, this week I had a pretty good week. I was 12 right, 4 wrong. Out of 800 people who competed in the contest, I was number one. So when I talk about football, pay attention.
That's it. He's got the creds.
All right, let's talk a little college football first. First of all, the Florida has got a big game against Alabama, and FSU plays Clemson. What's your take on each of those games? I think Alabama, and I'd be surprised if it's not close up at Florida State and Clemson.
I mean, I was looking at the spread, which is a pretty big spread on the Florida State Clemson game, and if that spread stands, then I'll take Clemson.
And
the reason is, again, I think the backup quarterback for Florida State is very good.
Okay,
but again, you know, he's going to be thrown into a situation. This is one of the big games of the year, and then the other thing, I'm sure some of the players are a little bit disenchanted by the actions of the quarterback, because the reality of it is, it's like, you know, it's like anything. We're in this together, and you had to do something like that when you already have, you know, two knocks against you, and you do something this stupid.
We're talking about,
and
Jameis,
you know,
Winston.
Here's a younger team that needs leadership, and where is the leadership? And I really think punishment-wise, this guy's going to make Johnny Football look like an angel before the season's over, because, you know, what did Johnny Football do relative to what our friend has done over at Florida State?
I don't want to throw any aspersions on Jimbo Fisher, but I think it's harder for coaches today to be that father figure like Joe Paterno was and kind of be both loving and strict at the same time and keep your players in line. Joe Paul was big at keeping his players in line.
Well, Joe was really from the old school. I mean, this guy was so tough. I mean, it was my way or the highway, and this is a true story. He had a party. Now, remember, I was on his first 2 years, which was, you know, a difficult period for him. And he, you know, he was very tolerable to anything that you did wrong.
Horse play, yeah.
And he had a party for all the seniors my senior year, and none of us showed up. we actually used to kid around. But, you know, when you look back, in my graduating class, out of 24 guys, 21 had graduate degrees and went on to do very well.
There you go.
Because the discipline that you, it's just like the service, the discipline that you learn, and I've always said to him, if you apply how hard you work in playing college football or professional football to your business today, meaning, you know your product better than anybody else, put in more time than anybody else, be more verbal than anybody else, you're going to succeed. And it's a case, Joe came from that school. He used to tell the players, he said, you know, when we go into the away game, I want you to have a suit coat on. I want a tie on. He said, I got an obligation. I got to get you a job when you leave here. And he didn't do it as a joke. He said, I mean this. And he said, when you walk into that end zone, you don't throw the ball in his hands. You don't dance on your head. He said, you know, you're a mature man.
Act like
you've
been
play
there.
The game like you know how to play the game.
Yeah.
And I think the final thing, which I used to laugh about, when I was up in Buffalo, you know, some of the reporters go, well, you know, Mike, I know you didn't like him too much. Now, this was at, you know, the early stages. And I used to always say, well, at Penn State, we had a 5-year, a 10-year, and a 15-year plan. The guy goes, what do you mean? I said, it would take you that long to go back and talk to the SOB once you left.
But he was a great coach. Real quickly, Florida or Alabama?
I think that's – I'm going to take Alabama.
Okay. What's going to be the hottest NFL game this season this week, I mean?
Now, come on. Bills, Chargers. Actually, it's going to be the Broncos game. You know, the Broncos play the Seahawks.
Yes, right.
And
that's going to be
the
Super Bowl. Yeah.
I'm going to take the Broncos – with the spread. I won't take them head up, but the spread, because I just don't know how a team that got beat so bad and so embarrassed could not perform at their maximum this time.
All right. That's Mike McBath. Thanks to him, John Casey, and thanks to you folks for being with us. Good night, everybody.
AM 660, The Answer, WORL, Altamont Springs, Orlando, a service of Salem Communications, intelligent, conservative, AM 660.